This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Lost their minds.
Well, we've educated Doug on how a break works, and also, during that break, Doug found out that he can't hear Al talk with his headphones on, so that worked.
I don't have a microphone.
I'm going to leave them on.
It's an education.
Just trying to make you laugh, please.
Two problems, one elegant solution.
It's an educational time
here
in the studio.
It's the miseducation of Douglas Marie over here.
Oh, I love it.
It's the show. It's the 12th of February to us, Kat Carlson, Doug Wilkie, Al Perkins, and me, Clayton, here in Studio C, as we do each Tuesday evening. We've talked about headlines and a bunch of other stuff. We're very busy.
It's been riveting.
Yes, it has. We're drinking champagne now.
We are drinking expensive champagne, and you're not.
And I'm going to be looking at pictures of cars while this next segment goes on, because I'm sure it's going to be riveting and talk about shows that I don't watch
Find
anyway.
Find the Cutlass Supreme.
I'm going to look. Well, that I love.
You know what?
But right now, here's Al Perkins.
They still make... Well, they don't make Cutlass Supremes. They stopped making Oldsmobiles.
Valid point.
I killed the whole company with that.
Exactly.
Now you're on to your next one.
Yep. Ford! Gone! So if you or your loved ones work or have investments in an automobile company, do not let me buy your car.
That's fair.
Where's the place where I keep it?
That is fair.
So just to piss this one off, Grace and Frankie, something he does watch.
I do watch.
Latest season I watched before coming here today. I finished the newest season.
I did too.
I'm through most of it. There's a couple left, I think.
Oh,
I think
my God.
I've never seen a minute of that show yet.
Oh, I know.
Douglas
Marie, what are you doing with
thank
your
you,
life?
Douglas Marie.
I don't want to give anything away, but you'll eventually get there. But there was in the last episode, I damn near fell out of bed when they cut to a scene, and I was like, what?
Which scene?
Well, I don't want to spoil it for him.
Go ahead.
Oh my God! That won't help. Because you can still hear me.
Oh wait, can I still hear Al?
Yes.
Yes.
That's almost impossible to avoid.
Honey, no. The guy at the end of the block
just
can
hear
Al.
A general description, like what scene?
Oh, but no, and this won't give anything away if I tell you. When they do that,
better not.
They call it alternative scene or alternative, like when they go
the alternative.
The alternative.
You're talking about Jane Fonda.
Yes, yes. So don't give that away to her. Oh,
so Jane Fonda's in the show, and Jane Fonda's in this episode. That's all you're going to tell me.
Fucking funny.
I'll binge watch it this summer.
Jane Fonda's name is in the
credits. Oh, wait, I have a spring break.
So when you see Jane Fonda in the last episode that
aired, don't be surprised.
Don't be surprised.
It's fair enough. Priceless.
It really is.
It really is.
She's a national treasure.
Now I'm excited. Yeah. And she's so beautiful. And she's like 99 years old.
As a new joiner to the Grace and Frankie, she's 80.
Mm-hmm.
That was another
baby.
Which we found out.
Yeah. But she looks like she's 40.
Yeah, she looks Jane fucking fantastic. I noticed that they only film her on cloudy days, which I think I'm going to put in my next contract.
Cloudy days.
Really? Is that gonna be
they only film her during June Bloom in San Diego. I don't think they're really filming in San Diego.
I don't think so either.
But it's been renewed for, I think, one or two more seasons. I can't remember if they said two seasons. Which
I only saw one.
Oh, maybe it is just one. But they're kind of going on that Will and Grace thing of having them fight too much. It's my only thing.
Yeah.
Is they fight a little too much.
Sitcoms always go for that angle.
That angle of like the drama. Know. But I have to tell you, the oldest daughter Brianna has the episode where they're fighting about sperm donation.
Yes.
Just give me the picture.
That was
Do you have
funny.
Any with him on a horse? Because I have
was,
a horse.
That was
I
funny.
Mean, her comic
I don't like
timing,
her. I don't like
I love
the character.
Her. No, I fucking love,
love her.
Her.
Her timing. The character is very unlikable, which is on purpose. But her timing and her delivery.
But I like that she's unlikable. I'm into that. You guys forget. I'm into that.
Yeah. I do enjoy an unlikable character. And she is playing it well.
I love them.
A show that we talked about a few weeks ago. It turns out I have the Starz Network in my $1 million cable package.
Look at you.
Wow.
So
somebody
now,
say you didn't.
So did somebody say you didn't? So as Missy L. Girl Detective, former owner of a Calais Supreme that no one can find online.
I found two pictures.
All right. So now Apocalypse is coming out, and that's the show that there is like gayer than gay.
Beyond gay.
Is
what
coming
is
out.
Beyond gay?
I don't know.
What happens after
I'm thinking
gay?
We make a left turn at Sean Hayes.
It's out.
Or right at Leslie Bald. Leslie, what's his name?
Uggams. Who? Leslie?
No, you're right. Beverly Leslie.
Beverly Leslie.
And
and land on a Missy L. Girl Detective. That gay.
Wow.
And that the one
gay.
In the birdcage.
I feel like I need to be immunized.
Oh, Lane.
Nathan Lane. Put him in that
Oh,
mix.
My God. It's better when he's Pepper on Modern
I
Family.
I know.
I agree.
Did you see the episode with the house?
Yeah.
It was so
Another
good.
National treasure. You just have all these clothes in your trunk? so funny.
Pepper.
Pepper.
I have been trying to like get into a better mood, so my moments of zen this week have been because on one of the cable stations is playing Into the Woods, a movie that I saw and I like appreciated.
Disney's vaguely. Into the Woods featuring my future ex-wife Anna Kendrick. Mm. Into yes. the Woods.
Huh? And I off have we to go. Tell you, the couple cuts, and they only made a couple cuts. There's a couple little precise incisions
right.
that really don't work for the movie. You don't need the second Princess song, even though it's very clever.
Agony
you'd have
reprise.
To introduce you'd, right. you'd have to introduce another character. They handle the time jump so well. You don't need the beginning of the second act mm-hmm. song because it all happens the day at the princess's wedding. So well done. And that Meryl Streep Oscar nomination, I thought was for just that one song because she sings the shit out of it.
The Last Midnight?
No, the Stay With Me. Stay
oh,
with
yeah.
me.
No, I think Last Midnight's better.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
But because that is a sustained performance, Emily Blunt, I guess the Academy wants nothing to do with her. Because she should have been
Fuck
nominated
those people.
Too. They really, that's just a terrific performance.
Yeah. Emily Blunt is amazing in everything.
And speaking of She's Emily so Blunt, the GoldDerby.com, the people that I'm kind of mad at because they keep thinking Lady Gaga's going to win stuff and she's not. Except for Grammy. She did very well at the Grammys. Well, deservedly so. Her music, sure. terrific. Her acting is getting better. Bad movie.
Right.
So we've talked about that ad nauseum.
We're on board. We're all the same. Check the boxes.
We're all in we're the there. Same place here. Gold Derby did an interesting thing where their movie aficionados, critics, all those
enthusiasts.
Things. Enthusiasts, if you will.
Enthusiasts.
Come together it's and they to say, do their it? Gold Derby Awards.
Okay.
And they use the preferential ballot for their best picture to see how they rank as compared to the Oscars. If you do a preferential ballot of
That's
like
fun.
First place, second place, third place.
That's really nerdy mm-hmm. fun.
Nerdy, I'm into
super
that.
Baseball. Nerdy.
Yeah. But they did a fun thing with, they announced their nominations for all the same categories mm-hmm. as the Oscars. And when they got to actress and supporting actress, they, as they announced them live on the interwebs, it was very cute how they think they're a thing. Mm-hmm. And I watch it like it's a thing, so I guess they succeeded.
It Apparently, is a thing. They now, are a thing now it's a thing.
They tell you they're like who came in like sixth place. Like mm-hmm. they stop at five, but they let you know. But in sixth place is this person. So how did we rate compared? Like how did our top five go with what the Academy did?
Right.
And because Emily Blunt was in two movies this year for Best Actress. She was 7th and 8th for A Quiet Place and Mary Poppins. But then for supporting actress in A Quiet Place, where she's committing category fraud because mm-hmm. she is the main, she's the
lead.
First name.
Yeah.
She is the lead and she is the star of the movie.
Right.
Her name comes before John Krasinski. She came in 6th place for supporting actress. So she split her own vote like 8 different ways. No one knew where to put her or what movie to vote for her in. So it's very interesting to see that like Emily Blunt thing.
So she's too good.
I was going to say this is
two
great.
Women, one mic. Exactly. That's exactly. What you're
exactly. I was three. Good. No, it was three. At that moment, it was three. Right. It just bodes well
mind
for
melt,
her career.
Mind yeah. Mind melt.
It means she's just amazing.
She may not have an Oscar, but she's going to have a long.
She's going to have a Meryl Streep career.
Very good career with great performances. What?
Found it.
Yeah, put it up.
It's not the same color. But that is a blue.
Yes, that's it.
That's it.
And it says right in the corner, Calais Supreme Sedan.
Because it was sportier than the
And it looks sportier. You can tell.
She sure is.
Sporty. Sure is.
I mean, Kat, when you saw that, you thought sporty.
I thought, my God, sporty.
1985.
That's a sports car.
1985
sporty little 1980s.
1985.
Those of you that are old enough to remember, the ad campaign for this year was,
oh, dear
it's
God.
Not your father's Oldsmobile. Yeah.
Oh!
Because it was sportier.
It's sporty.
It's sure not because my dad's driven Ford.
Because my dad would kill himself before he would get in that car.
Hated it because it was too small.
Sure.
So when I was moving, we had this big fight that day, me and my mother and father.
Shocking, based on the stories you told me.
I was going to take a car with me. They were fine with that. They knew that
take
I was going to move to Arizona. No, but because the Calais Supreme was a brand new 1985 car, and this was like early 86 that we were having this conversation, I was like, why don't I take that car instead of the Delta 88? And my dad was like, you're ungrateful. I can't believe you're asking for the new car. And I just sat there and I'm like, they'll get there.
I'll have the car.
And my father goes, I mean, it's a small car, and I hate driving it, and it's not big enough for road trips, but yeah, you can have that car. And it was one of the few times in my life that I did
think
not...
Think about it.
I did
think
not argue it. Back, and like,
no.
He's going to talk himself out of this in about four, three, two, there, and after we're done. Okay.
I'm leaving with a new car.
Keys in hand.
Soon to be christened the Seattle-mobile. So on a network I do not understand where it is, so I had to wait to get it on DVD. Mr. Mercedes, a book we talked about, the Stephen King book that you told me was a trilogy and ruined my life. And I read all three books. Because the first one is like Detective Gumshoe. It was really different for Stephen King for him to write in this style of a detective novel. Nothing at all supernatural. No, like... nothing in there. And then, of course, by book three, we were full Stephen King land, and delightful way to get there. So Mr. Mercedes on this audience network, audience something?
Audience, yeah.
The AT&T network? Mm-hmm. Who the fuck knows?
It's I got the DVD. DirecTV.
Yeah.
I have it.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of music stuff on audience.
And one Stephen King series called Mr. Mercedes. Beautifully cast, really thoughtful, played out storytelling. I'm only in episode like six or something. Really well done. I have to say, so you get a chance, if you have DirecTV, I guess, watch it on the Audience Network from about two.
It's been on for a while.
Good people. Yes. I think they've done two seasons, and I'm assuming they'll cut off at three, because it was...
a trilogy.
It was a trilogy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But it's my new thing now with, like, don't waste your time making a movie out of a book. There's a million TV stations. One of them will let you make eight episodes and turn it into a miniseries.
You really can make a movie out of a book.
Listen, Weezer.
Yeah.
I don't read books because if they're any good, they're going to make them into a mini-series.
Yeah. Really,
my God.
There's so much, information. Because
they're trash.
Why condense it down? Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Give me, I spent 12 hours or 15 hours reading a goddamn book.
But you're so right about with all the platforms now. It's like, you can, actually.
Because you can't make The Stand into a two-hour movie. It ain't going to happen.
And you don't have to.
You can make three really long, boring movies that no one wants to ever watch.
But you want to watch.
No, not The Hobbit. But The Stand, yes.
Yeah, no, The Stand.
I mean, The Hobbit. What are they at? Seven, eight fucking movies for that shit?
That was too much.
And they're just walking and walking.
Hold on a second. Lord of the Rings is the three movies, and that is a trilogy. Those are three fucking books.
Made into three books.
When the fuck did they make three movies out of The Hobbit?
Google it. I guarantee you they made three Hobbit movies.
J.R.R. Tolkien and his Hobbit books?
No, they made three Lord of the Rings books.
And then they made a Hobbit movie, and then there was at least a sequel. The Hobbit movie came with at least a sequel.
Google it. Just call it
IMDb.
Peter Jackson.
Wait, I'm Googling in my brain right now.
We can't rely on that.
No. The second one is Back to the
Tree. Clayton, I love you that you like
Back to the Tree.
All right, do I have enough to share with you?
We like facts.
Yes. Oh, I have we're going to talk about something else here in a minute, too.
But are we?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm
going to
try.
We're going this way.
I'm
going
to try.
All right.
Thank you.
Clayton, you're in charge of opening the other bottle.
This is wonderful, by the way.
You're in charge of opening the other bottle.
Okay, how much longer are you going to talk?
Or just go get it and bring it in another. I haven't a lot of time.
I don't know, but I'm going to take my headphones off so I can't hear Al anymore.
Okay, so the other thing we're going to talk about is...
I can't hear him.
Devil in the White City. We did not read that as a group, but we should have. Interesting book.
That keeps getting recommended to me.
Yes, Devil in the White City. Very fascinating. I can't remember who wrote it.
Stand by.
But it is the book about the serial killer, what could possibly be the first serial killer in America.
You like serial killer stories.
A little too much. But it's set against the backdrop of the Chicago World's Fair, where we get shredded wheat, and we find out why Pabst is called Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Because I'm in.
Because
they won the Blue Ribbon Prize.
They won the Blue Ribbon
at
the Chicago's World Fair.
When people had no taste.
Right, and they're hanging on to that shit.
It's a book by a man named Eric Larson.
Yeah, it is...
Devil in the White City, Murder, Magic, and Madness at the Fair that Changed America.
And has Pabst Blue Ribbon in it.
Yeah, it does. Okay. But it lists
Have you ever drank that beer?
It tastes like shit. Yeah. PBR?
You know what? People come in and ask for PBR all the time, and I tell them the cheapest, shittiest beer that I have... is Budweiser.
Because they're doing that stupid hipster bullshit.
Hipster fucking shit.
Right. It was just slick. I couldn't. Okay.
But
because PBR tastes...
Big strong man hands.
It tastes like shit.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's yeah.
And I just tell people, the cheapest, shittiest beer I have is Budweiser. Mm-hmm. If that's what you want, I love
that you say that.
Sure.
From a macro brewery.
Because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a 50-cent can of beer.
And you're going to give it to them.
But so they've been...
No, I'm going to give them a $5 bottle of beer.
They have been trying to make a movie out of this book. And it's been Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio have been trying to make a movie of the book and running into problems. And now finally they have decided that the best way to get all of the information is to make a miniseries out of it.
So you're saying that the class needs to read the book? Have you read the book?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
A few.
Reading shit.
Yeah.
This class?
It was part of that book club that I read the book. They don't read the books and have the wine. I read the books and don't drink the wine. I've never gone to the club.
Fair enough.
And then we only have a couple more things.
It's not going to be in the bottle long enough.
It will be.
But that's fantastic to do it. It's going to taste better, too.
I know.
You're going to thank him for
it's
that.
It's going to help it out.
I put one in there.
We want the fizz to stay.
Yeah.
It's not going to last until 10:12, and we'll be done.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
So the BAFTA Awards were on.
Fast.
Typical BAFTA stuff. Always charming. Joanna Lumley was your host of... Yeah.
So cool.
Absolutely fabulous fame.
Yes. Or Bond girl.
Such... She wasn't a... She's almost a Bond girl. She's the other thing.
A Bond villain?
No.
Charlie Sanders.
She was from one of that British spy show. But everybody thinks she was a Bond girl. She wasn't. She was a model, and she was from the British spy show. Their version of it.
The New Avengers?
The New Avengers.
Oh.
That's where she's from. So,
she's on it.
But one of the fun things,
because as soon as he says a name, I type it in.
You're fast.
One of the fun things about the BAFTA Awards is they're polite. They're almost Canadian in their politeness. And the fact that she has to stay on stage for the entire show,
as is with tradition.
She does a couple of really bad jokes because she's not a stand-up comedian.
Right.
But very gracious about the winners, and they did the introduction of all the famous people in the audience. It was so awkward. Her outfit was fantastic, though. Another one.
Yeah, she looked great.
Late 60s, early 70s, looks fantastic. Mm-hmm.
She's but born May 1st, 1946. So that makes her
73.
70, yes.
So, sounds right. Judges will allow it. So she has to introduce the presenter, and then she just goes and stands in the back corner of the stage. But she greets them. She shows them to the podium. She blows
says things
them
like,
a kiss.
Hello.
No, that's some hostessing.
Yeah, and then when the people win, she does not acknowledge them. She stands in her corner. But when they play the clips, she turns. She doesn't say, "Now direct your attention to the screen." She
turns
to
and
the
watches.
Screen and watches it. And then she comes back politely.
So
I'm like, oh my God, this is so fucking British. And it's because
I want that
the
job
future king
in
is in
way.
There. And a couple for a few years, it was Stephen. What's the comedian we like?
He's so funny.
The guy that hosted it for years. Hysterical. Because he is a comedian. So Roma won everything. Anytime Alfonso Cuarón was invited to the stage, he came to the stage. It got a little crazy. Best film. The favorite got British film. Rami Malek won actor. Olivia Colman won Best Actress, which we knew because she's
I heard
a big
her speech was
of,
amazing.
It was she was delightful.
They were going
to
get pissed.
I don't know what to say. She's like, oh, but I wrote something down. We'll go with that. So it was very cute.
That's Al's English accent for you.
Thank
I
you.
Know. I made her an old woman, too. But it was very cute. Mahershala Ali
everybody
won.
Always goes to Mrs. Doubtfire for the British accent.
And the surprise, because Amy Adams just can't
Stephen
win an
Fry.
Award. Stephen Fry. Amy Adams can't win an award.
She's,
Rachel
exactly.
Weisz won for The Favorite. Which again,
but
category
she's English.
Fraud, yeah, because they're really
it again. I approve of the Rachel Weisz and anything she wants to do. Just so you're aware,
and
I
if
love
you haven't
her.
Seen The Favorite yet, wait till that comes out in
type.
Video and find out.
I know
have you
I
seen.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's on.
Kat Carlson, have you seen The Lobster?
I have not.
Oh, another one, and it's same director.
Trust,
wonderful movie.
Trust me. If you like,
here's
her.
What I need you to know about me, Doug Wilkie.
Oh,
I
yes.
see about 3 movies a year.
But you have a
Tops.
Thing for Rachel Weisz.
I have a thing for... Well,
you'll be
I mean,
fine.
She fits a type. Let me line right, up some photos for you.
Let me...
There's a definite...
There's
then,
an Anna, then, Anna Kendrick to Rachel Weisz line that you can...
That's
Anna
all
right. To Rachel Weisz
Wait,
to...
Let me,
Demi Lovato dips
I think,
in there.
I think,
there's
I think, actually,
Lovato.
I think...
There's an Anne Hathaway in the middle there somewhere.
I think we...
Like,
there's
a... Dark-haired women seem to be a theme.
From what you're describing, we need a Venn diagram.
With light skin.
Yeah.
Kat, we need a Venn diagram.
It's going to be a circle, Doug Wilkie. It's going to be a circle.
But I think that... Rachel and that movie should be at least one of your 3 of the year.
Yeah. And
we'll
yeah.
see.
Because she's so good.
Because the movies that I watch at home are even fewer. Like, of my 3 of the year,
okay.
almost always 3 are in the theater. So.
Yeah. But okay. but catch this when it comes out because she's.
I will.
And it really should be.
Is it still happening in a theater somewhere?
They brought it back because of all the nominations
oh,
in
sure.
every award show. It really should be Rachel Weisz and. Olivia
Colman
as lead actress with Emma Stone alone in supporting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but they
mm-hmm.
bumped Rachel down for some reason. I don't know why. And Olivia Colman kind of addresses that there really isn't a supporting actor. It really is the 3 of them.
There's
Joanne
Lumley.
The
oh, wow. She looks great.
Looking terrific. And, you have to see those sleeves move. It's such a wonderful hostess outfit. She's lovely. So it was nice to see, and I think Spike Lee is going to win his Oscar for writing Black Klansman.
But not directing it.
No, that's Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh, quick question. Does Alfonso Cuarón have a directing Oscar?
Yes, for Gravity.
So maybe.
It goes,
that could help, right?
Yeah, if the Netflix back...
Because that's going to be another slap in the face if Spike Lee doesn't get the jury. You know, like...
Yeah.
He's been blocked by the Holocaust movie when he did the...
Right.
Like, he's had some bad luck. Like, yeah. If you think about it, this should really be the moment, and then Roma comes in with the guy's personal childhood magnum opus.
I would just
he's having bad luck.
The Oscar ballots go out today. I would just suggest to the Oscar voters that are listening currently that you're going to get...
They're all listening.
Yeah, they should be.
Nero, that's funny. I just
all 6,000 of them.
I would. I know. I got to see that. I would suggest he's going to win some cinematography. There is no more beautiful cinematography in a movie made
perfection.
This century. It was Roma. It is amazing. Gorgeous. He's going to get so cinematographer good. Cinematography. He's going to get best foreign language film. You can let somebody else have best picture, and you can give Spike Lee a directing.
I couldn't
Oscar.
Agree more.
Because he's going to be on that stage so many times. And even if you find Roma to be kind of slow, the one thing you're going to say is, God damn, this movie is beautiful.
Without question. I couldn't agree more.
It's so beautifully shot.
When I got home from your house that night, I was like, that might be the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the things you just wanted to pause and be like, that's the most beautiful black and white image I've ever seen. And the other one to watch out for, and it was nominated a lot at BAFTA, is let me just get to that category because I'm not gonna say its name right. Cold War.
Oh yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful movie. Really, very.
What is that movie about?
Way more entertaining than you think. It is about
with that name.
Isn't that the one that you said that was what A Star Is Born should have been?
Should have been.
Yeah.
It's a better A Star Is Born. A guy comes to. He starts a singing group. He meets these like girls that are going to be part of this like singing act that he's directing, and he finds this one that's really a star, and he brings her to Paris to become a star. And it's all set during the Cold War, and her both of them trying to get out of East Berlin and into the West. He gets there on an artist. He gets there by directing.
That sounds
amazing.
She
tries to get there through an artist visa. And it's all about...
So it's A Star Is Born meets Dreamgirls meets Hedwig.
Yes. Hedwig is a very
she got
good
there
analogy.
Fast.
Yeah. Yes. It was very well
She's
done.
She's good at this game.
Also, she is very good at this game. I think this whiskey drink is helping her.
The whiskey drink
it's giving
is
her an
helping.
Unfair advantage.
And I just want to nerd out with all of you for a second. So please do. Olivia Colman beat Glenn Close. But remember, Glenn Close is playing year fraud. She's not playing category fraud.
And BAFTAs don't count.
Her movie came out in 2017. Mm-hmm. The Wife came out in 2017. They did not want to compete with Three Billboards. They didn't want to compete with Frances.
Smart.
They were calculated.
McDermott for that. So they were like, we'll just release it next year in 2018 and give her a shot then. Mm-hmm. So when the BAFTA voters got that, they may have gotten that movie last year. And then it didn't, you know, it wasn't a kid, but they were like, oh, here's your screener. Oh, never mind. We'll show you again this year. So they may be playing a game with Glenn Close of like, you're kind of cheating. But in the U.S., it got no distribution and no one got screeners last year.
So she's good here.
But nerding out, they're getting rid of some categories in what they're going to show on TV. And the Grammys, I was upset about it.
Yeah, I saw this.
But the Grammys focuses more on performances now, so that makes the Grammys more watchable.
You
watch the Grammys for all the people that they put together that have never been together before. You watch it for the songs.
You get some really fun,
and you find out
collaboration.
It makes sense.
But the Grammys have like hundreds of awards.
Yes.
So they're getting rid of like cinematography and editing, two of the most important things to a movie.
And why? Yeah. Wouldn't you just cut to the why? Have they lost their minds?
Because those are not celebrity recipients. Those people are very important to movies, but they are not what.
And they want to become the People's Choice Awards.
Not to malign Housewives.
So
but.
I want to address that right now. So you know the M4 site that I know you're onto, Movie Magic Mesmerize Me, which I love them. I saw Aaron Neuwirth or someone on there who I see all the time made the greatest point of all. Why in the world did the Academy Awards want to become the People's Choice Awards and all of this, like, you know, the ratings, and he said this, and I think it was fantastic. That's one night out of 365. ABC's not going out of business.
Right.
They're not it's going to be okay. And he said, he had the most brilliant, he said, why don't they just put it on, do what Miss America, when it went off network TV and it went on the country channel, yeah, whatever that CMT. Fucking thank you You're thing welcome. Is. Why don't they just put it on ABC Family? Or he had the best idea of all. He said, don't change one thing about it. If it's 5 hours long and people go, oh, it's too long, fuck them. It is too long. And people like us like it that way.
That long, yeah, right.
And it has 90 million categories of people, fuck them. It's great. We love it.
It's one night
so
a year.
So stream it. Isn't that brilliant? Why not just ABC stream it? We can see everything. And then if you want to chop it up and do whatever for
broadcast television later,
do that. But don't take it away from the people who've been doing us. For our whole
lives.
Fucking lives, yeah. And then you're going to say, "Oh well, fuck it." No, we need to make sell commercials. No, you don't. There's multiple platforms across ABC.
And 27 million people still watching.
Who's
a TV
watching?
Show?
Who's watching ABC Family on the night of the Oscars?
Right,
five people. Why can't we have that slot?
They're bitching about 25 million people on the broadcast television. That's lucky to get like 3 million people for a TV show.
Ever?
You're still like. Eight
so,
times.
My hat's my off to the person I can't remember from M4, but he was absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so that's my rallying cry. Don't take it away.
So to super nerd out on this, the one thing they want to get rid of is cinematography, which is what
very important.
Movies is about.
Oh my God.
Right. You know what I mean? Like the one thing they don't get rid of
it's
on,
like the,
on
one
the
of
Grammys
the biggest awards
is the producer, because the producer makes the record.
Right.
The producer puts the record together, decides the sounds.
Produces it. If
take
you will.
Yeah. Take a demo.
Sometimes they produce it.
Well, if you take, and I think we're all saying the same thing. But if you take like the demo of a record,
teasing.
I guess Diane Warren makes really shitty demos, according to Cher.
Yeah.
And if you take the demos that she sends to the artists, and then you get what the producer puts out at the end, and how
it's going
to
be fantastic
this thing
from this
to
motherfucker,
that
right?
To a chart topper and a number one song forever.
You know, what did you add? You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's where the producer. So they don't get rid of producer, and they even give
just a
the producer
string section
plus,
and a little hi hat over
when
here.
When you say that you go, just even think about the vernacular, the language. Do you go see a movie and watch a movie?
Because
because of what you're looking at.
Because the person
like,
that did the
most
cinematography. Yeah.
There are some shitty movies with the great cinematography that I will like. What did you say? Legends of the Fall.
Yeah, Legends
not
of the Fall.
A great movie. Fantastic
beautiful
cinematography.
Movie.
Beautiful movie.
Beautiful.
And Glenn Close is very candid of that she does not understand why she was nominated for an Oscar in The Big Chill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She has said, that's
the
an ensemble cast. I don't have a scene, except for she cries in the shower in one scene. Mm-hmm. There's not one scene that makes her stand out from everyone else. Like, why they picked her? She's like, I don't get that. And then The Natural, she says, you were nominating the cinematographer, because she's
of
so
course.
Beautiful.
Of course.
And you know who it is? I had to look it up. It's Deschanel. It's mm-hmm. Zooey Deschanel's father,
oh, no
Caleb.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's nominated this year for the Oscar that the people that were the Gold Derby people and all the people that watch things were like, what movie?
Yeah.
It's a foreign language movie that no one's heard of that they were like, and they're like, oh, Caleb Deschanel. Somebody knows his name. And
right.
But when you get your ballot, so Oscar voters again. So let's go to the Academy Awards for this year, super quick.
Those that are listening.
I hope they all are, because I've seen more movies than they have.
But cinematography is so important.
Jeez, oh, here it is. Caleb Deschanel. So let me get the name of his movie that he's nominated for this year. That the Oscar pundits were like, the fuck is that movie? He has never won. He has a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is a 6th nomination. It's called Work on a Tour. We gotta find out if they translate that somewhere. The English name is Never Look Away. I mean, you should have saw the looks on the people in Gold Derby's face when they were like, what did they just say? And then you find out it's him. So when you get your categories for song, for cinematography, for, I think, director, you get a name. You don't get a name. All you get is the movie.
Okay.
So you don't know, and that's why Randy Newman. His father's a writer. His Thomas Newman, Alfred, like they're all this. Alfred Newman's a character. His father is Thomas Newman, the famous conductor. He's a conductor. Randy Newman went 19 times at winning an Oscar because no one knew what song he wrote.
Yeah.
Because it just tells you the song and the movie. And you
if you knew it was him, you'd be in.
If you knew it was him, you might have not made him sit there 19 times not winning. You might have been like.
And losing for Ragtime.
And that's why Diane Warren didn't win in Lady Gaga for the song from the It Could Happen to You. Remember that powerful song that when you were like, oh, fuck, they gave that to James
from
Bond
the CNN
after that?
Documentary.
But not many people had seen the movie, so they just saw the title of the movie and the title of the song. I'm like, I don't know that fucking song. But if you had told them written by this, they may have looked it up. But you don't go any further, so they don't know who they're voting for here with Never Look Away. They're just going to see a German name and like move on. Vote for him. But what's his name is going to win. And he was very classy. Alfonso Cuarón went a nerd out for the last time. When he won for cinematography at the BAFTAs, Chibo, who has infamously won the last three Oscars for cinematography, he said, Billy Wilder said, what would this person do? I just said the whole time I was shooting, what would Chibo do?
Incidentally, nice. Alfred Newman is also a composer who wrote the 20th Century Fox fanfare.
Oh, so it really is. So he really Thomas is a person, Newman, yes. Alfred Newman, and Randy Newman are all related.
I don't know about all that, but Alfred they Newman's
are.
A real person.
I think Alfred Newman is Thomas Newman's brother, and Randy Newman is
so
one
when
of their sons.
He when he wins the Cuarón cinematography, he we could, won't be seeing it.
Nope.
That's bullshit.
Bullshit.
Sorry.
And they said the reason he wasn't nominated
I'm devastated.
For, the reason he wasn't nominated swearing. For editor was because the editors were like, you got to stop doing all this shit yourself. You can't edit the movie, direct the movie, and do the cinematography.
Well, you can when it's your
we
life
have a
story.
Union. Well, Chibo was the reason he did it is because Chibo was unavailable.
Yeah. Right. So, I read that.
Yeah. That he just wasn't available and he doesn't know who else to work with.
That's the only one that he works with. Yeah.
So he's like, I guess I got to do
it. We're like this,
stuff.
Al.
All right. So there we go. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Like, considering how long headlines took, that was
doesn't
brief.
Matter.
It was wonderful.
Does
it
really?
Perfect.
I just the late show with
thank
us.
You, Nero. See, Nero says we should just shut up and let them have their fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Nero.
I don't know if you heard this earlier today. Last night in the little campaign rally that dumbass campaign. Did at the border, oh, you know, God. Where he had a billion people, oh, and the fire department's God. Like, no, you had like seven.
I love when the fire department's like, nah.
He started using Hillary's campaign slogan about better together, we're better together. He kept started using that. Well, they've decided that he's going to steal not only that, he's also going to steal her look. I thought that was fantastic. It's called Colbert
so
put that up.
I heard something about crowd sizes there.
Yeah.
And it was all
a lie. All of it's a lie.
Oh, yeah. The fire department said, no, that's not even possible. The building only holds as many people.
And then this one, I thought you'd like to see from this week's episode of Schitt's Creek. This is one of the scenes or one of the pictures that they revealed. It's she's in, looks like she's in jail with pink clogs. I don't know why, but that's
Crocs,
a fact.
Those are Crocs.
Crocs.
Yeah. What's her name?
Jocelyn.
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 Who I've decided I love.
I thought that was funny because she loses her mind at the singers of over shit. It's just funny shit. Funny, funny, funny.
The jazzy gals.
The Jazzagals.
Jazzagals.
I like her.
Oh my gosh.
The sister now.
Thank you, dear.
Yes. What I was going to mention was.
Tell me. Mention the things.
Science, data. That's what I mentioned earlier to you.
Yes.
What do we think about Mark Kelly announcing his candidacy for Senate?
Up.
I'm thumbs up on this. And I love when he said in the interview, we've gotten away from science and data and facts. Like, I'm like,
and now
yes.
we have a scientist.
And then when
running.
You then when you look at his resume, you're like,
oh, it's so good.
Holy shit.
His resume is crazy good, yeah.
Yeah, he has crazy good.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that
he's
up.
He's an astronaut, you know.
He has
a
resume.
Former everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And who better to run then?
Yeah.
And he gets the convergence with Gabby Giffords. That's a solid ticket for him, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that. We're talking about Mark Kelly.
I think it's fantastic.
Against Senate, Excel, right? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he can just argue science.
Exactly.
Oh, just all you got
to
say.
Yeah, science and data. Let's go back
but my
to that.
Gal, Amy Klobuchar, is announced her candidacy.
In a snowstorm in Minnesota, guys.
I really like her. Even though I'm the super liberal left wing, I wanted to talk about this tonight. If we're going to do the moderate centrist who can beat Trump, you watch Rachel, as do I.
Mm-hmm.
She has the highest quotient for that.
Yeah.
To beat him. So if we have to do the... We need to go to the middle. Let's go with her.
Yeah.
Because she'll win.
So the thing that we all have to remember and we have to remind our friends, though, is that no matter who the nominee is, we're all behind her.
I couldn't agree more.
Whoever she is.
That's right.
I don't care if you don't like her pantsuits.
I could not agree more with this.
I do not care if you don't like her emails. Whoever she is, we're behind her.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we're behind
and
her.
We're just
100%
publicly shaming third-party candidates.
Yeah, oh, right. That fucking Howard Schultz. Ugh.
Not, that's who you were talking about earlier.
Not the creator of Charlie Brown.
He just criticized AOC
Charles Schultz.
And said the Green New Deal is immoral and what other stupid thing he fucking said. It's time for billionaires like him to just shut up and go away. Stop talking.
Yeah. Everything I read about him makes me.
Did you hear her response when they the right went nuts because she's criticized billionaires? I just want to share this with you. So she was saying that AOC, Alexandria.
Thank you.
I can never say her name, but AOC.
You just started the sentence with she, and I was just like, there's so many.
I'm all over the place. So, an embarrassment. An embarrassment of riches. Yeah. So,
luckily,
No, seriously. Yeah, so she said, she was on something, she got attacked by the right wing. She said, we don't need any more billionaires. But she wasn't done with her sentence. Right wing went crazy, and they're like, she's criticizing billionaires, which, okay. And so,
I just ate the last one.
Her, I just love, she's like slays on Twitter, everywhere else, but she did it, this one she did in
person. She's very smart.
She said, I'd like to finish what I'm saying. She said, we don't need any more billionaires while there are homeless people in the streets and one in five, and one in six, debatable, but a shocking number of children are food deprived.
Yeah, food deserts.
In a week, like, meaning don't get enough to eat, miss some kind of level of meals in a week in the wealthiest nation the world's ever known. Bam, mic drop. She was like, after that, once we fix that, we can have all the billionaires you want.
Right.
I was like, this bitch is on fire. Like, that was fantastic.
Right. Well, that's there's so food deserts, well, there's, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
I was surprised.
One in five kids don't have enough to eat. And that's not,
I thought
by
it
the
was
way,
higher than
I'm
one
sorry,
five.
That isn't just food deserts, though. That's like kids that live on this street.
Poverty, right
here.
Right.
That's
not, it's not necessarily.
Oh, no, although food deserts are horrible.
No, that's adding to the problem. Yeah.
That's even worse.
Yeah, you may not be food deprived, but you could live somewhere where the only food you can
is
get
is Takis. I understand.
Yeah. No, I get it. We're on the same page. So I just love that
start
she
burning Takis.
Just she is on point with those responses. And that marginal tax rate, which, by the way, now they said 70% of Americans support, which is you keep your first $10 million. And then after that, then it's taxed at 70%, which is what we had in like the
50s
or 50s.
60, something like that.
It's not like unpopular. So,
well, it's unpopular among people that make that money.
Yeah, the minority.
Except for Bill Gates.
Who also spend all that money on your politics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like one of the first things that you have to do, and I can't remember which brilliant woman made a speech about this recently, but because, again, embarrassment of riches.
Yes.
But yeah, went on and on about like the first things that we have to do is get all of this money out of the politics.
That is what I've been
billionaires
saying.
Billionaires can't
for
be
20
making
years.
The decisions with their with
public
their checkbooks.
Public financing of elections is what we need. We need regular people to run, and people like Howard Schultz don't need to run. He's never been. I love what she said. That here I go with AOC again. She said, "How come he was never on city council? They always feel these billionaires." She said they feel compelled to serve politically. Why can't he serve on city council? Why does he have to start here? Because of his fucking ego.
Because Bloomberg was mayor of New York. Like, he went with a local. Fortunately or unfortunately, mayor of New York is kind of like Grand Poobah or the emperor.
Yeah, that's the big
like,
mayor
that's
job.
That's got way more power than it should. Like, the mayor of New York has more sway than the governor of the whole state. Like, it's a very weird thing how much power the mayor of New York City has. And it could be a sign of corruption.
80% of the state's people are in that one city. Like,
yeah,
like Nevada.
We all watch Veep. Nevada. Just, I dare you. Yeah. Just fucking do it.
Just no billionaires and regular people running is a great idea. So,
I agree.
But Mark Kelly, I'm on board. Klobuchar, I just really like her. I watched did you watch her interview on Rachel?
I have it recorded. I have not watched it yet.
Okay, it's
I did
so
watch
good.
Her entire announcement
so
speech in the snow.
This is why I like. I think she can disarm the whole Trump thing. She has no scandals. There's nothing to find about her. She was a prosecutor, so she's not some like do-gooder.
So was Kamala Harris.
So Kamala Harris,
prosecutor is right.
She was
talked
Attorney
about
General.
Being tough. This is close to my heart. She worked for the Minnesota Justice Project, which is an arm of the Innocence Project, and I volunteer for the Arizona Justice Project for exonerating people who were wrongfully convicted, which I did not know until last night, and I almost fell off my own couch. If I didn't already love this woman enough, I was like, oh my God, Innocence Project too. And she's just solid. also the states that Trump won, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Pennsylvania.
Okay. No, the Michigan.
Michigan. I'm sorry. That's right. She, that's why they're saying she could beat him, because yeah, that's her backyard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, luckily, again, an embarrassment of riches. It's all the people that I've liked all along. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy Cory Booker.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying Cory Booker since like 2013.
He's on Rachel Tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Kamala Harris. I like Gillibrand.
I like, and she's domestic violence. That's her pet issue.
Like, there are so many.
And sexual assault.
I
we would be fine.
I didn't follow Beto O'Rourke enough because I didn't really care about Texas, so I don't get the appeal there. Because
he
I
should
also,
run for vice president.
But I never dove into it.
No.
Kind of like Stacey Abrams. Yeah,
Abrams. Yeah.
From Georgia. It's not my election.
They
I
need
saw
to
her
just
on TV
wait.
Shows. But I also don't know. She could be fantastic, too. Yeah. I don't know. And I don't mm-hmm. know. I actually don't yeah. know if she's running. I don't know if I'm putting that in her mouth. But Beto O'Rourke, like, I don't. I've heard him on, and they've all been, all of them have been on Pod Save America.
Yes.
That's the only reason all I know who Amy Klobuchar right. was, because.
Yeah, she has was, name recognition problem.
Was.
But not for long.
She was either on Keeping It, what was it? What was it called before Pod Save America?
Keeping It 1600.
She was either Keeping It 1600 or she was early.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of forgot who she was, and I was like, oh, that's right, she was on the show. Yeah. But there are so many good candidates to choose from that I think I easily could defeat Trump. And luckily, so many women. Like, this is not a token woman. This is going to be
and
mainly
isn't that kind of,
women.
Like, really, that embarrassment of riches, like, not just Hillary Clinton, but, like, all of that, it puts a different cast on the whole thing.
And I
thing.
Don't see like, any of them turning it into the Bernie bros. Like, I don't see the Bernie right. assholes no. coming back with that... Mm-mm. She murdered 40 people thing.
Yeah.
Like,
done with the fuck. Well, we're all done with that.
I don't know. I think there's that thing. And then there's also Uncle Joe.
He's not going to run.
I don't.
He's not going to run.
I don't think he will, but
he's
I think
gonna
he throws
he's going to exploratory committee, and he's going to do all kinds of shit. He's not going to run.
He needs to so bless
he,
whoever runs.
But what? Oh, yeah. He will, but
oh,
what's
sure.
he gunning
That's
for?
That's his role.
He's gunning for something. What's he gunning for?
Well, because you can't be in that position and be that close and not think about
do you
it.
Think
but he's not going to run.
Do you think it's he's too old for judge? Because we've learned our lesson about older judges. But what's Uncle Joe?
He can't be vice president.
For?
He already did that.
Like, what does he want? Uncle Joe wants something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does he
like
want?
Everybody wants to be president.
He wants to rock.
Ah, oh.
He wants to fight for his right to party. Is that
yes.
what you're saying?
Sometimes
but
you have
you know
to fight for it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's there's something like what's the unfulfilled dream? He knows he's not going to get the nomination.
It's the impossible.
The old
dream.
White guy is.
The old white guy's not going to win.
It's not going to win. Because you're running against an old white guy. You have to hit. You
yeah.
have to. But there's something he wants, and I'm
going to be some real angry people
that
in
keeps
this country.
Sticking. Every time he goes on an interview show, I'm like, what is it mm-hmm. you're looking for?
I don't know. You know, it's going to sound really cheesy, but I think he really is a career public servant.
He is.
Who's
just compelled to be a part of the process.
I agree
he doesn't want his final act to be vice president. What does he want?
To be a kingmaker.
Is that it? I mean, that's sure. good, but mm-hmm. I don't think he's that self-serving. I think he wants like. Is it Attorney General? Like where
Secretary
does he
of State?
Secretary of State? Like,
yeah.
what's,
that'd be lovely.
What does yeah. he sure. want to finish up
sure.
as? Because I really think somebody should piss somebody off and put Hillary on the Supreme Court. Like,
mm-hmm.
like if they win the Senate,
or Bill,
no Hillary. I think oh, Hillary. Yeah. I think Hillary's final act will be. But again, you got to do.
Bill's
like
already
the Republicans,
got a job.
And you
got to
go with those 40-year-olds. You know what I mean? You got to get the Breakfast Club generation in there so they'll stay on there for 40 years. Like, that's yeah. the smart thing. Well, Obama did it, too, because Sotomayor was very young, and so mm-hmm. is
Kagan.
Very yeah. young. There's something Joe wants, and I want Joe to call me and just be like, once I'm done talking to all the Oscar
Joe,
voters,
yeah.
Joe, call in and just tell me. Like,
right.
Ambassador to
what
France. Like, what? How do you want to end
you,
it?
What are you doing?
Maybe just quietly with his grandchildren.
No, because he'd stop doing interview shows.
No, you wouldn't.
So there was something I saw today about
CNN correspondent
Beto. Like they were like, let's do Biden Beto.
Absolutely not.
No,
I'm just
not
saying
two
I
men.
Saw it.
No,
Not two men.
It's got a really nice alliteration, but two fucking white guys, no way.
No.
There's no way.
Although Beto could be good for vice president.
No, I think
for a female candidate,
if you know
Beto on the ticket would be good.
If you know that you can get that close to winning in Texas, that you can.
That's
where Abrams comes in.
That's where he should
and
sell
himself.
That's
where Beto comes in. If you're in one of those states,
he should not run for president. He should just be quiet and be like, pick me for vice president.
And luckily, everybody that's running, there's nobody that you can say they don't have an ex. No one's brand new to it all.
Right.
You know, Beto's... I don't know enough about Beto. I know Abrams is in the House of Representatives, but...
Beto's never won an election. That's his problem. So he needs to be quiet. He almost beat Ted Cruz. That's cool, but he is... Yeah. You don't run by...
Well, you don't...
I lost!
But
yay!
Almost beating the least likable person in the United States.
But in Texas, that's a hell of a job.
All right, she's got a segment.
I don't.
Nope, she doesn't. And I only know that because she's never prepared for it anyway, so we'll just do this one.
My God. She's so patient, Glenn.
Ouch.
No, she...
I mean, it's true, but ouch.
I just know, so we'll just do this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
We're back.
So I think it kind of came up last week. I was thinking about this on my ride over today while I was enjoying my new stoplights.
Boy, like that. My new crosswalks. We'll kill your brother.
Your new crosswalks.
Crosswalks. Like when you start saying, I want to get out of this or I want to do something else, like this isn't good for me. Like, do you ever think about the people that it is good for?
Oh, unfortunately, I think a lot of people do that because they stay in stuff to not hurt other people. Is that what you're talking about?
Kind of.
Relationship, job, like there's a myriad.
Or there's people that genuinely like what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, I need to get out of this. This is all horrible. Like, do you ever
there's
think about
the people who it's maybe
better than this?
But maybe it's the greatest thing that happened to them.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be like, fuck this, I can't be a nurse anymore. It's horrible. And someone else is like, this is the greatest thing.
Or hometowns, or, you know, it could be a job, mm-hmm. it could be your hometown, and I've got to get out of this shithole. But what about the person that found love and happiness and prosperity
and
in this shithole?
Wants to retire there.
It was, yeah.
Well, right, but that's
right.
That's how it all works.
And they Wizard of Oz it, and it was all in their own backyard.
There are 100 shitty little
it
cities in the state
question,
of Arizona
though.
That I'm sure that I'd be like, fuck, I couldn't imagine living here. People are like, I love it here. They're in every state in the union, they're everywhere.
They are.
There's jobs that people, like, I can't imagine. I know. And then there are people like, I love what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were you going to say?
I have this theory. It's a little out there.
Oh, no.
I know. Doug's going to like this one.
Oh, good.
I believe that we are actually living in the Matrix.
Oh.
So.
Which color pill do I take?
Don't huff over there. So the thing of it is, so you meet these people and you go, there's no fucking way. Like, I'm busy, like, trudging through my life in my cynical way and having my problems. And, like, life is just life. You know what I mean? Like, my life is not especially terrible, but there are things that could be better. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Right? And I feel fairly realistic about it. And then I see people that are all kinds of, like, even in person, just all kinds of sunshine and a lot of it relates to parenting. Mm-hmm. Right? The people that are like, oh, my kids are angels and I love my kids and look at all these wonderful moments and... I'm thinking to myself, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And what fucking kind of children live in your house?
And whose
right?
kids do you have?
Life is right. Many moments.
They're lying.
Even now and then.
Whose children did you kidnap?
Yeah. Right. And so I've come to just believe that those people are Matrix people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not actual people, but they're part of the program that they've been programmed in there to fill up the space.
Yeah, to make you think that, oh, you should be happy doing this.
Right.
Yes.
You should like this more.
So, I'm warming up to this very much so.
Oh, stick with me, Doug Wilkie.
Yeah.
It's Douglas Marie.
There's you, Douglas Marie.
Douglas Marie, you will be blue pill all day long.
I'm
because I don't care
I'm
if it's
ready.
Just air, that steak tastes like a motherfucking steak,
ready.
And I'm on board with the Matrix. But I do, I really do. Sometimes I look at what other people are projecting out there, and I think, that can't be real. Either you're a goddamn liar.
Right.
Or you're Matrix people.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
I confirm this thought process.
I'm still not sure which one you are.
Yeah. So, right.
And you may never know. That's so how
then,
it works.
So then the follow-up question, since we all got there. So which of the sliding doors analogy or whichever one of those movies that all have the same theme?
I love that movie.
Sure.
Like, which door do you think would have been the most interesting, where you had a choice between, like, A or B? Which door do you think, oh, I'd like to see that, like, we'll steal from Grace and Frankie, the alternative. Like,
I haven't got to that episode yet.
No, but I'm just saying, but that's the point to it, is, like, had we not gone through this door, which time that you had two choices would you most like to be, ooh, I'd like to see what that alternative
looks like. Oh, how that played out.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I try not to think about that too much because it drives me bananas.
Yeah.
But curiosity.
But there's certainly a couple of decisions and turning points that I'm like, I wonder if I had gone another way.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few of them I'm not actually willing to like specify. But one of them would be probably leaving home as young as I did. You know what I mean? Like if I had figured my shit out and stayed and, you know, gone to college like I would have been forced to do, like, right That's out of fine. High school, you know, mm-hmm. and lived that life. And my sister did that. You know what I mean? Like, my sister, and I joke about it every time I see my parents, and they take me out to dinner, and I order, literally on purpose, the most expensive thing on the menu. Because I'm like, well, this is my college fund right here.
Yeah.
You got
out of that right. money.
Well, this is my apartment right. that you didn't pay for 4 years that I know you paid for hers.
Right.
But I'm
that's
not
good,
bitter.
That's a good knife to twist. That's, I like it. I approve.
Yeah.
J'approve.
Yeah. It's appropriate.
I'm spending my inheritance
on this meal.
On filet mignon.
Yeah.
With shrimp.
And you should do it every time.
Oh, and I do. And I do.
And if you could cut up a $20 bill for a nap.
Yeah, exactly.
And my dad just kind of rolls his eyes and laughs, and I think it makes my mother mad, and I'm okay with it.
Whatever.
No, I totally
But yeah,
it.
You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody has a couple of pushpin moments where they're like, oh, if I'd have just turned left at Albuquerque, I wonder how this life would have turned out.
Mine would have been I dropped out of ASU the first time after three semesters and said, I don't want to do this anymore. And now when I look back, I'm like, but that wasn't really much longer to go. Why didn't I just do it? You know, I didn't want to, and I went, I worked and did all kinds of, so that made a whole other non-traditional student trajectory. But I think, what if I would have just, you know, just sucked it up and just finished? Then what would I have done?
Yeah.
I would have had a degree at 22, 23.
But a degree
like,
in what?
But, yeah, who knows,
yeah,
right?
That's me.
But, like, I just, but, my, I, but you asked the question. I'm wondering, though. I'm wondering what I would have done.
Yeah.
But like, would it? How would things be now?
Yeah.
I do wonder that.
Yeah. But if you're not careful, you get very butterfly effect in this. And like, you can go down a really dark path.
Oh, it's depressing.
With this
game. Oh,
there's,
no.
There's people you don't meet.
Believe me.
There's experiences.
Yeah. Believe
all
me
of a sudden, you're screaming on a gurney with no arms and no legs.
And believe
and
me, Kat.
Right.
Kat, believe me, when your mother reminds you of it on occasion, it can get darker, too.
Oh, no, like, we're too waspy. We just
that hasn't happened lately, but like,
very,
well, if you would have just done it this way.
Very
like, oh,
gently
God.
Reference the misgiving, and then we move right on like it never happened.
Like it never.
Never happened.
I do like a wasp approach to many, many things.
Oh, that's what I'm doing. That's what we do.
I virtually disappeared from the family for 10 years, and nobody talks about it.
Never comes up in conversation.
Don't you remember this time at your cousin's wedding? Nope, wasn't there.
I don't.
And everybody
remember
just moves on.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. That's a can of worms we don't want to go fork first into.
Why didn't you come to the wedding? Wasn't there?
The one that I think of is oh no, it's your turn. I go last.
Oh, I think mine's going to be rather boring, but I do often think often about.
So boring.
I would have met a lot of very different people, but in 99 I made a choice to leave corporate America from a very good job that I had with Trane Air Conditioning.
Mm-hmm. I remember
and
that.
I was assistant service director to the state of Arizona for commercial work. And I wonder now how that would have played out, I mean, because I'd be 25 years in. I mean, I was 5 years in when I left. So, yeah, so I'd be like 25 years
junior. I would rather be no math.
So
you could have been laid off 5 years before your retirement.
Yeah.
But my world would have been very different. Like, you know, the 401ks and benefits and like, you know, there would have been a whole different trajectory of security in life because of I had really good standings and I was vested in a company that's the officer's still going. I mean, I'm still friends with a few people that work for the company still. But I've always wondered about that. But I chose to make the I'm going to stand my ground on because of what I thought at the time was a bullshit way that I was treated by one person in the company, as opposed to thinking we can work past this. They're going to be done soon, and we'll go on. Because you know, I did a lawn business. I worked in bars for all the years and all that stuff. But again, like you said, there's a cast of characters I never would have met,
right.
who I think have all wonderfully shaped my life in various aspects.
Oh, he means me. He means me.
That's what you're one of them. You're one.
I have been changed.
I mean, I had already met these two.
We're just going to show tunes our way to the end.
You
of the
already
show.
Met us.
I'd already met them, so I mean that was already done. But it just
because
was
because I knew you.
Yeah.
That really is that. Unfortunately, that is the secret to all of it. Is the different people you meet.
Sure.
That would have been. I remember different. Like the our friend Gina was in town the day that I got the call that I got the job at Good Sam. And I remember being like, well, I got that job. I still don't know if I want it. And she was like, just think of like all the new people you're going to meet, like all the like the different people you're going to meet in this job. And I think that like a lot of times at work, every time I encounter someone that I really like and I'm glad I'm friends with, I'm like, this is all the new. This is just one more person. If I hadn't taken this job, I wouldn't have met. You know what I mean? Like one more person that I really enjoy. And I'm like, it's all because I said yes to that one phone call and 1,000 choices later. That you get to meet the different, you know, people that become important.
Well, and you initially you made the decision that you're not going to work in the bar the rest of your life. Like,
right?
There was...
I mean, the A B choices go back, but the one that always kind of stays with me, like, not like I probably was not. I probably would have realized I was not good at college the first time. I really wasn't. I wasn't moved by the spirit, if you will. But moving to Buffalo instead of moving to Phoenix, like if I had just gone over the bridge. And moved to Buffalo.
Oh, sure.
And lived downtown and saw all that. Like, would I be dead of a drug overdose? You know what I mean? Would the college partying have just...
That's the sliding doors.
Yeah.
Right.
Would the partying now being closer and have, you know...
When you reflect back and think about the thing that you would have picked and that would have been so much better, but what if that's the thing that would have led to your demise?
Oh, no, and absolutely.
You could have lived in the Calais Supreme.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And probably,
it turns out it's all going to lead to our demise.
Would have. I mean, honestly, because we were just partying all the time. That's all we did was party, and it was escalating, and I got out as everybody was, like, reaching a crescendo... And I didn't see that.
I saw that, Clayton.
Yeah, I didn't see that at the time where that was headed. But it was only a couple years later that I was like, oh, if I had stayed in that crowd, having fun, doing all the fun things, but never having to, like, really, you know, like, never really knowing what broke was. Because my family would have been on the other side of the bridge. It would have been like, or you could go around the river and, like, walk there. But you could just follow the river and not, you know, go over the river.
There is another...
But there would have been a backup plan where in Arizona, there really wasn't. Like, my parents were like, and we're done sending you money. Like, make your own living. Where, I mean, they sent me... it was $175 a month. It was not a huge sum of money to live on. You're not going to do a lot with $100. But that was my stipend. Right. And then they were like, then we're done sending you $175. Like, you've abused everything. Not that I didn't party out here, but eventually they was cut off. And I was like, okay, either I... go broke or I start taking work seriously and start making money. And all of a sudden it was like, you know what? I'm not going to go to that party. I'm going to go to work and pick up an overtime shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that was a big change. And who knows if that would have happened if I could have just crashed in my parents' basement. If I could have been that guy. You know, that's the AB for me. Would there be any motivation, or would I just have depended on my family's generosity for all time?
I also wonder
about... I probably
about,
would have done that, because you should never underestimate my laziness.
I realize that I know consciously that I'm better for it not going this way, but in regards to my family, there was money on one side of the family, and then there were morals and good people. There were better people on the other side, which is my mom's parents, and that, like, that was a whole different realm of people. But I've often wondered... how different my life would have been if I would have taken the bait and gone with the money side. You know, if I would have gone with the, because I had grandparents, very oil company, very well off people, there was a lot of money. If I would have bit my tongue and played the game a little more than I did, because I, you know, once I got older and I started hearing things I didn't like, I just spoke right back up, and it just drove a wedge between us and them, and or me and them, and all this stuff. But anyway, I wondered too. I do realize consciously I'm better for not going that route, but you wonder. How morally corrupt and bankrupt would I be if I was, you know, if I had gone to that side and inherited land and money or whatever?
But not literally bankrupt, so that's fine. Yeah.
That's a different twist to the equation.
But it also, if I believe it would have also equated to of me not being myself, and I would have had to have remained. Woo! Look at the, look at that.
I would have had to have remained
in my hometown.
First time.
I would have had to remain out there, and again, would not have met any one of you fine folks at all. So again, it's just one of those things you think about. But I mean, it certainly doesn't bother me at all that that didn't happen. Not the least.
Mm-hmm. No, but I don't know. You know, and I think with a lot of things, like the good and the bad are two sides of the same coin. You know what I mean? Like
well, everything's a give and take. I mean,
right.
Sure.
Well, but the good and the bad are the same thing, just depending on how you look at them, right? Yeah. So I left home very young. And very stubbornly, and just basically disappeared for a long time. But on the good side of that, and a point of pride, is that I'm not living off of my parents.
You grew.
You know what I mean?
You grew as a person.
I'm very self-reliant.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
You're
like,
responsible.
I have cousins well into their 30s that are still living with their parents, whose parents still pay their cell phone bills and other things. And,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And none of that's a thing. Which I often at family gatherings look at my father and I'm like, so.
Which is better.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and my mom was very outspoken about it at Christmas. You know what I mean? Because a lot of my cousins who stayed close and who are very taken care of by their parents are not quite as helpful or self-reliant or, you know what I mean? Like, they don't take care of themselves. Their parents are still taking care of them. And so, by contrast, to see me and my sister there, like, oh, yeah, no, we paid for our own way here, and we have to go home because we have jobs, and nope, we're not high right now, thank you. And not that that's a bad thing necessarily, but
we're not on our fifth divorce and 17th child,
right? And we're not, and we're not drunk before Christmas dinner,
right?
Oh, that Ann Landers.
I'm going to stop you there.
let's not go crazy.
But we're also not, you know what I mean? Like, I went home for Christmas, and I was stunned at my cousin's new husband and the way that he talked in my grandmother's house. I was like, who do you think you are standing in this kitchen with that foul mouth? Like,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
How has no one talked to this man?
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't do that here.
Yeah.
I can curse like every sailor you've ever met, but not at my grandmother's house.
Right.
And who the fuck do you think you are?
Get a fucking clue.
And I to the last day, like, the F-bomb was saved for super.
That's
super
not a thing that we say at grandma's house.
No.
Right.
In front of my mother, it would take, like, an act of God and a bolt of lightning.
I never swear in front of my parents. You know what a filthy mouth I have. I do not swear in front of my parents or grandparents.
My mother's favorite word was shit and goddamn, but that's the level that you worked at. Like, if you wanted to go blue, that was your limits.
Right. Yeah, my mother is shit. Well, shit.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of cursing, but the F-bomb was, I think I said it in front of my mother maybe twice.
Yeah.
And once was because we were about to, like, run off a road and kill it.
So, like, two sides of the same coin, you know what I mean? Like, I'm far away and distant, but I'm also my own entity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've done the thing that my parents wanted out of raising children. They wanted to create people who could take care of themselves, who would go out into the world and create their own lives. Mm-hmm. So, and for better or for worse, that's what it is. I live far away. And
two women, one mind on this one. I don't think if I had stayed anywhere in the, like, the gravity pull of my parents, I would have become in any way independent. I would have just kept going because I, like, their generosity would have never cut one of us off.
Yeah.
Like, neither one of them would have ever
never let
like,
you struggle for your own
the
good.
Line. Yeah. They would have just kept fighting and just kept giving. And I would have just been the kid living in, because I love the basement. It was a delightful place. And now it gets to be something I can...
And it was yours.
It could be something I reminisce about instead of someplace that I'm so in the basement. Right, good
the
or bad.
Windows up
again,
high.
Again, same coin, good or bad. Are you there at 40 or did you leave at 19, you know?
Yeah.
No, I think mine's genetic. Like, I'm pretty sure I was destined to do so because my parents of their generation are the only ones that have moved away from home, and their parents are the only ones that moved away from their family home. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think I was genetically destined to do so.
I think my parents had just a tiny, tiny, tiny sprinkling of wanderlust that just became an epidemic in me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always thought that, like, just that little sprinkle was like, oh, okay, we got to go. Is that a plane? Is that a car? Is that a train? Where are we getting there?
Instead of a bump, you did three lines of it. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I went right from a light fancy to just, Anna, get on the plane.
All right.
Well, that was an interesting.
That was lovely, wasn't it?
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
We got through it.
Because I have a new stoplight.
All because of that.
Where's this new stoplight?
There's a crosswalk.
Highland and 7th Avenue.
Oh, the crosswalk,
I get
there
safely now. I can have deep thoughts and not...
Because so many people died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't one of them.
That's what it takes.
I was hoping it was a full traffic light, not just a hawk light, but I didn't get that.
It's not.
Sorry. We'll move on. It's all right. Whatever. Oh my gosh, well, the chat room is very busy. Thank you all for participating.
Thank you all for playing.
Thank you for being here.
Enjoy this on repeat.
Sure, over and over and over and over.
And Nan's from the future.
And Nan from the future.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always from the future. It's tomorrow right now.
Oh, well, as we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
Oh, gosh.
Well, it finally happened, Zachary. Somebody burned down my she shed.
Nobody burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Well, my she shed's on fire.